Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Hey guys, welcome back to Storytime Slayer Podcast. I am your host, Haley Lira. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining me. Of course, you know, I'm going to post anything that's related to this story along with my other crime stories on my Facebook page, Storytime Slayer, and on my Instagram page, story_time_slayer. I love a good review on Apple Podcast. Honesty is always the best policy, but 5 stars sounds pretty honest to me. Let's get started. By the way, today's story takes place in Michigan. Okay, let's jump in. The year was 2008. Faith Harris was in her early 30s when a man named Gregory Green entered her life. Greg was 10 years older than Faith. Faith had been divorced with 2 children when she met Greg, so she had a 10-year-old son named Chadney and an 8-year-old daughter named Kara. Faith's father was a pastor, and Greg had been a member of her father's congregation since Faith was just a child. Faith said as a preteen she developed a schoolgirl crush on Greg, but then he just went away one day. So when Greg showed back up to her dad's church almost 2 decades later, Faith said that she felt the same schoolgirl butterflies that she had all those years ago. The reason that Greg had disappeared and returned after so many years is because he'd actually gone to prison. It was Faith's father who helped advocate for Greg's parole and early release, though. Faith's father had even wrote a letter to the parole board on behalf of Greg, which I'll tell you guys parts of it later. But Faith said, according to her dad and what little information Greg would share, he'd gone to prison for killing his then wife in self-defense during a heated argument. Greg had apparently shoved her and she fell and hit her head. So she actually ended up dying from the injury. Greg served 16 years for this. And Faith said that she believed Greg. Her dad obviously believed Greg and his rehabilitation, plus the members of their community really believed and supported Greg as well. This was obviously just a tragic accident. Now remember, Faith was also a pastor's kid, a PK. She looked at it like, hey, your past is your past, you've repented and been forgiven, let's move on. Plus it was obviously an accident, and Greg really didn't like to talk about it because it seemed like it was a painful memory for him. Not to mention, Greg was totally charming, a real gem, a nice gentleman. The sparks between them were mutual, and dating felt really easy and natural. Things were normal and effortless. So Faith's initial impression was that he was really nice, but also really shy, reserved, and introverted. Given his recent 16-year incarceration, him being a bit introverted was expected, so I don't think she let that bother her too much. Plus, she was in a new relationship. Her blinders were on. She was blinded by love. But as time went on, she began to feel really uneasy about Greg. She can't really describe it. It was just a feeling she had. At first, he seemed just shy and reserved. But as time went on, Faith became disturbed by how quiet he was. He basically was silent, like he never wanted to talk at all. Faith also began noticing a shift in his mood with no reason or cause. She could literally walk out of the room and she'd come back into the room and Greg's whole vibe would be off. Looking back, Faith thinks that the moody Greg was the real Greg and the nice Greg was just a facade. However, the changes in Greg's mood and behavior in the early days were so small and calculated, it was really hard to point out or say anything to him. He just began making her feel uncomfortable and uneasy. So she decided to follow her gut and break things off with Greg. Something just wasn't right. After they broke up, though, Faith found out that she was pregnant. Faith and Greg both seemed pretty excited about the baby, and they decided they wanted to give their relationship another chance and be a real family. Faith gave birth to their daughter, Koi, October 28th, 2010, and the couple was married a short time later that December. Things were really great, and they were really happy. Or at least Faith thought that they were. After having their daughter Koi and getting married, Faith started to see that Greg had quite the temper. And he would sound off when he got frustrated about really minuscule things and tasks that didn't go smoothly. Things like she gave an example of he was trying to hang curtains and he had a really difficult time. So he would just have a complete emotional outburst of anger. For some reason, it didn't really alarm Faith at first. She just thought, oh, he's probably just frustrated and blowing off steam. But Faith said it really concerned her oldest daughter, Kara. And Kara never really liked Greg. Like, her daughter could see something wrong with Greg that Faith was blind to. Like I said, she was blinded by love. And this really happens, guys. in Kara's diary, she would say things about Greg like, quote, "I don't like Greg. Mom's obsessed with him. Something doesn't seem right with Greg. It's like everyone likes him but me. It just doesn't seem like he's, I can't even explain it," end quote. Faith does elaborate that these are feelings Kara never voiced to her and she didn't find out until later. Of course, she wished that she knew how much Kara didn't like him and how afraid she was and awed she thought Greg was. Because remember, Faith felt that way too, but she just couldn't put her finger on it. Along with having fits of rage after Coy was born, Greg also became really detached. The way Faith described it is Greg made it seem like he'd always wanted kids, but once he had them, it was like he changed his mind. Greg started to change back again. He was being really quiet and weird, and Faith got a really bad feeling and wanted to divorce Greg. But then she found out that she was pregnant again. So she decided that she wanted to stay and try and really make this family unit work. Faith and Greg welcomed their second child together, another daughter named Kaylee, born September 5th, 2012. Greg got worse, though. He became even more closed off and detached. And when Faith confronted him about his behavior, he basically said it was because he wanted a son and not daughters. Greg began to become really mean to the kids, too. She said in an interview about a time Kaylee, their youngest daughter, got really impatient because she wanted her mom to make her a sandwich and Faith was taking too long. So Kaylee like grabbed the loaf of bread and smushed it. Remember, she's a little kid. She had to have been like three. Greg slapped Kaylee on her thigh really, really hard and began yelling and screaming in her face. Faith said that it was really scary. And this was the sort of authoritative discipline that Greg would continue with to the point where Faith and all the kids feared Greg. Faith said you could literally tell by looking at Coy how anxious and afraid she was all the time. We're not talking about spankings, guys. We're talking about just straight rage punishments by him. So at this point, Faith knew she had to leave Greg. She began putting away money and making an escape plan without him knowing. So one day she comes home like normal and she is hit in the face with an overwhelming smell of gas. Knowing Greg and the kids were home, Faith became really panicked and she goes straight to where the smell is coming from and it's the oven. All the burners on her stove were turned and left on, but with no fire. So it was just like gas leaking out of her stove. She immediately turned them off. She starts looking around the house for Greg and the kids and she finds Greg just casually sitting on the couch watching TV, acting like he didn't smell the overwhelming gas odor. When Faith asked him, like, what the fuck, he again acted like he had no idea what she was talking about or that the gas was even on and blamed the kids. Faith stood her ground, though, that this could not have been the kids. They wouldn't do that. And Greg actually admitted he was, in fact, the one who did it because he just wanted to end it all. He didn't care what physical effects it would have on the kids or that they, too, could have died in his little woe is me. Despite how alarming this was, Faith still wasn't quite in a place where she was ready to leave. So it's not a judgment. I'm just letting you guys know she's going to keep on keeping on. She didn't quite have a plan yet. But then Greg got worse. He began physically intimidating her by getting in her face and acting really aggressively. He also started waking her up at all hours of the night to cause her sleep deprivation. Things were getting beyond out of control to the point where Faith's kids kept asking her when they were going to leave. They were all terrified. So Faith was like, okay, no, we have to leave. She made a plan and set a day. They decided that they would pack up and leave on the last day of school. That day came and just like Faith promised her kids, they packed their shit in 2 hours and they rolled out. Faith did not have a face-to-face confrontation with Greg after she left. She just opted to call him and tell him instead, which is the safer route. I definitely don't ever recommend having a face-to-face confrontation with your abuser. Greg retaliated by shutting off their cell phones. Faith and Greg stayed separated and worked on getting a divorce for the next 2 years. And during those 2 years, Greg just slowly chipped away at Faith, making her think that he'd changed. So they slowly began talking directly to each other rather than going through lawyers. And Greg just seemed so much nicer. Like he was back to the old Greg. He was patient. He was kind. He was understanding. Faith genuinely believed that he was taking the steps to be a better person over the last 2 years. And she ultimately agreed to move back in with the kids and give their marriage one more chance. This was a terrible mistake, though. It only took Greg a couple months to change back into the old Greg. He was a master manipulator, obviously. He never changed. He just wanted to trick Faith into coming back. So Faith and the children were once again back at home and terrified. So she knew that she had to leave him again, and this time, like, for good, but she wouldn't get that second chance. What I'm about to tell you guys is scary, disturbing, and heartbreaking. Buckle up. In the very early hours of September 21st, 2016, Greg woke Faith up. He'd woken her up many times in the middle of the night just to be a fucking asshole. So at first, Faith thought this was just like his normal thing. And she tells him, no, I'm sleeping, you know. But then he told her to get up a second time. And she heard something in his tone that told her she better get the hell up. Like, get her ass up now. So she did what Greg told her to. He told her to go into the living room. And the living room was her son, Chadney. Greg told Chadney to zip tie his mom's hands behind her back. At first, he protested, but Greg had a gun, so Chadney did as he was told. Next, Greg zip tied Chadney's hands behind his back and then brought Kara into the living room and zip tied her hands behind her back as well. Faith said that she was absolutely terrified, but tried to just remain calm so that no one did anything to make Greg fly off the handle and shoot them all in a fit of rage. At this point, Faith thought that Greg was just trying to tie them up so he could kidnap Coy and Kaylee and leave. After Faith and her two older children were zip-tied, Greg made them all walk downstairs into the basement and lie down. I'm assuming they had to lie down on their stomachs. From there, he duct-taped their wrists and feet and left them in the basement. While he was gone, they tried really hard to get loose because there was a phone in the basement, but they were unsuccessful. When Greg returned to the basement, he shut off the main light, so they were almost completely in the dark. Greg was talking and just like sounding off about how he wasn't going to let anyone in Faith's family raise his daughters or let them be influenced by Kara. He then said he wanted Faith to suffer for what she's done to him and his children. Then Greg asked Faith if she wanted to see her daughters again, and she responded yes. After she said yes, Greg shot Kara 2 times. Faith couldn't help or comfort her daughter because she was bound with zip ties and duct tape. Faith just screamed and watched as her daughter died. Next, Greg shot Chadney. Chadney said ow before rolling over and going completely still and silent. Greg then turned the gun on Faith and shot her in the foot. She didn't feel anything the first time he shot her, but he shot her a second time, and she said that the second shot to her foot really burned. Then he walked up closer to her, grabbed her face, and sliced her with a box cutter from one side of her face to the other. At this point, Faith just felt herself being saturated in warm blood because she was in total shock, so she just couldn't really feel anything anymore. Greg left the basement, leaving Faith injured and tied up next to her deceased children. Greg then sat on the front porch and called 911. I'm going to play the call for you guys, or part of it.
Gregory, what's going on?
Yes, I killed some people in my family.
Tell me what happened.
I shot Kara and Chadney. My two stepkids, they're both dead. And my wife, thanks to her, I did what I did. She's a piece of work. She kept pushing the issue.
He is literally placing blame on her, even in the 911 call. Faith said from the time Greg left the basement to the time paramedics arrived felt like forever. But it was really only minutes. Greg was outside when police arrived and they immediately detained him. Paramedics and law enforcement entered the home and asked anyone there to come out. Faith yelled that she couldn't, and that's when they found her and her two children in the basement. Faith and the two younger children were rushed to the hospital. When Greg got to jail and interviewed him, he said that he did this because he wanted Faith to see what she did to him and live with it the way he has to, which makes no sense. She didn't do anything to him, but okay. Up to this point, Faith is under the impression that her youngest children were asleep through this whole ordeal. But when Faith wakes up in the hospital, she's faced with the reality that her daughters, Coy and Kaylee, were not left asleep in their beds. They too were dead. When Greg left Faith, Chadney, and Kara in the basement zip-tied when they tried to get free, he had spent that time murdering Coy and Kaylee. He didn't shoot them, though. Instead, he killed them via carbon monoxide poisoning in his car. What he did was he attached a hose from his tailpipe, placed it in the window of his car, then started the car, and while the girls were sleeping, he carried them one by one and placed them in the vehicle until they inhaled the deadly gas and died. Faith was devastated. I'm sure there are no words to describe her pain. She said she literally couldn't process the information when she was told. She just kept saying "what" over and over in the hospital. She also said that she was in such shock she can't even remember who told her about her youngest daughters. As if all of this wasn't tragic and overwhelming enough, there's more. So remember how Greg maintained he'd gotten into an argument with his then pregnant wife and she was killed in an accident in self-defense? That is in no way, shape, or form what happened. Gregory Green's wife, Tanya, was 7 months pregnant when Greg murdered her July 14th of 1991. They got into a heated argument, but before Tanya could leave, Greg stabbed her 10 times with a steak knife. He stabbed her in the face, neck, chest, and back. Both Tanya and her unborn baby died from the injuries. When Greg was done stabbing Tanya, he put the knife on top of the fridge, washed his hands, and then called 911. Tanya also had two children from a previous relationship, and they were home during this attack, but neither of them were harmed. They hid. After police arrived, Greg was apprehended immediately, but he put up no fight. He went to trial in 1992 and tried insanity defense, but ultimately pled no contest. He was given a 15 to 25 year sentence. Greg was a model prisoner, but wouldn't take accountability for his actions and maintained that his wife mistreated him. For that reason, he was denied parole the first two times he tried, just because he wouldn't take accountability for his actions. But his 2008 parole hearing was different. He had a lot of people rallying for him. His family wrote letters. His mom practically begged the parole board to release him early because he'd already suffered and would be suffering the rest of his life for his actions. But it was actually Faith Harris's father who made a really large impact on the parole board. Remember, Faith's father was a pastor and would work with and visit inmates while they were in prison. I'll read you a part of the letter he wrote to the parole board on behalf of Greg and what a lot of people believe was the real reason Greg even got paroled after only 16 years for such a heinous crime. Quote, "Dear Parole Board, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I write you this letter on behalf of Gregory Green. Gregory attended our church before he was sentenced to prison. While interacting with Gregory, I've noticed a great deal of growth and his understanding has matured quite a bit. If he was to be released, he would be welcomed as part of our church community, and whatever we need to do to help him adjust, we will." End quote. That's only a piece of the letter. Faith was understandably hurt and shocked by this. She maintained she legitimately had no fucking idea. As for her father, Faith says that he claims he didn't know either, and he actually believed Greg's story of self-defense. This was a really hard pill for Faith to swallow. She said in an interview for Evil Lives Here that she doesn't want to bash her dad and she thinks Greg deceived him as well, but she doesn't really talk to him or know how she feels about him, which is understandable. Honestly, you guys, I look everyone up, especially if someone confides in me that they've been to jail or prison. I never take people's stories for face value. Do your research. Every state has a database for criminal cases and prison time. In Oklahoma, it's OSCN.net, and that's where you can look up civil, traffic, and criminal charges. And then there's the OKDOC website to look up prisoner information. Greg was 49 when he went to trial, and he was charged with 4 counts of second-degree murder, 1 count of assault with attempt to do bodily harm, torture, unlawful imprisonment, felonious assault, felon in possession, and a felony firearm charge. He was sentenced 45 to 100 years in prison, and he will be 97 before he ever gets a chance to parole. Something a lot of people aren't aware of and definitely weren't aware of whenever this happened is that the most dangerous time for a person in an abusive relationship is when a victim tries to leave their abuser. Faith now stresses the importance of recognizing odd behavior. She said when Greg would act strange, she would just brush it off and think, oh, he's just having an off day, or make some other kind of excuse for his behavior. Chadney was 19, Kara was 17, Coy was 6, and Kaylee was 4 when they were tragically taken from this world by Gregory Green. This story is so dark, painful, and tragic. Throughout the relationship, Faith had planned to leave Greg 3 times. She said that he's an evil master manipulator who tricked her. Please, if you or someone you know is a victim of domestic violence, reach out for help. The number for the National Domestic Violence Hotline is 800-799-7233. That's 800-799-7233. Or you can text START to 88788. You know, this story is really powerful to me because I myself was a victim of domestic violence for 5 years. It can happen to anyone. I made decisions that weren't rational because I'd been abused, manipulated, and isolated over time. When I was in the middle of it, I didn't want to tell people because it was embarrassing. And for some reason, the few people that knew they just didn't know how to help me. So yeah, definitely reach out to a hotline or somebody who is educated in what to do with victims of domestic abuse. Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning into Storytime Slayer podcast. This story just really hits me to my core. So with that, I will bid you adieu and I will talk to you next week. Bye.